Ready?
Our evening began in Peter Seychelles' comfortable study in his New York townhouse.
No sleep till
Brooklyn! Yeah! Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens, it's that end. From the Battery to the top of Manhattan.
Yo, rope!
Hello, everybody. My name is Jim Shear, and welcome to the Brouhaha. And I believe that this is the first episode of the Brouhaha for 2012. We've got some rust to shake off. No guests on today's show. We will be playing 20 Questions with Todd. He has appeared on 20 Questions before, and he was one of our stronger contestants. I remember he made a bold prediction. He said, I'm going to run the table. I'm going to answer them all. And then a couple questions later, he did not answer them all. He actually went out, I think around 15 or 16. So Todd will be joining us today. And we're doing this episode just to, you know, get back into shape, to podcast shape. In the upcoming months, trying to get Kate Schellenbach on an episode. And here's the story. Prof D, good friend of the Brouhaha, I think Kate got in touch with Astro or something, and then Astro got in touch with Prof. Anyway, Prof had an old Luscious Jackson bootleg, got in contact with Kate, and before he sent the bootleg off, he's like, hey, my buddy does a Beastie Boys podcast. Would you be interested in doing an episode? And she's like, yeah, sure. So Kate and I have emailed back and forth a few times, haven't found the right time to do the podcast. And now that Luscious Jackson's coming back together, you know, I hope we do have time to do the podcast. But Kate, if you're listening, you can use this podcast as a good training exercise for all the press you'll do when Luscious Jackson does come back. And if you would like to pledge money to the Luscious Jackson comeback, I believe, I might be wrong, but I think the website is pledgemusic.com. Or just go to Google and type in Pledge Music and then search Luscious Jackson once you're on the site and you can pledge money to their comeback. And I think for maybe $2,000, you can have a Luscious Jackson concert in your living room. And then for like $10 and $15, you can get, you know, t-shirts and autographed goods and whatnot. So we're trying to get Kate on an episode. I had a very special guest that was supposed to be on the show today. He could not make it. He is not a Beastie Boy. He has met the Beastie Boys before on multiple occasions. He is a great musical mind, but we could not work it out today, so we're going to try to do that in the near future. Also, I'm going to do a special hardcore episode of the Brouhaha, where we will rank the Beastie Boys' hardcore songs. Maybe, you know, maybe we'll go top 10. Top 10 seems to be a favorite thing in our society. And I'm also in the process of booking a hardcore legend from one of my favorite punk bands of all time. Keep an eye open for that. As you guys know, April 14th, I believe, is the date. It's a Saturday, so if it's the 13th or 12th, but that Saturday, the Beastie Boys will be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And the other big modern names are Red Hot Chili Peppers and Guns N' Roses. I've confirmed this with Capitol Records. The Beastie Boys will not be performing. And also confirmed, if you look around the internet, Chuck D will be inducting the Beastie Boys. No surprise there. Because I believe Chuck D also did the speech when the Beastie Boys won the Michael Jackson Video Vanguard at the VMA Award that, I can't remember what year it was. It was like 98, 99, or 2000. So Chuck D will give a speech. And I've heard Chuck D give speeches in the past, and his go-to line is calling the Beastie Boys the white Jackie Robinson. It's a great analogy, but he's used it so many times. So when he inducts the Beastie Boys, I hope he just stays away from that. And he's a man of many words, so I'm sure he can come up with something different. What else? Oh, April 20th through May 6th, if you live out in Los Angeles, Mike D curating an art show. nice little video on Vimeo with him checking out the space, laying down his game plan. And then April 10th, when that rolls around, a historic day in Beastie lore. On April 10th, 1992, the Beastie Boys filmed their music video, So What You Want, and the world was never the same again. So when April 10th, 2012 rolls around, we will celebrate the 20th anniversary of So What You Want. And if you're on the internet that day, actually, if you're on the internet right now, make sure you check out the low-budget homemade film, So What You Want Revisited, starring Prof D. I was also in the film, and so was Jason Duggar. So if you haven't seen it yet, do yourself a favor and go see So What You Want Revisited. But I always tell people that video changed my life, and it did. I work in music right now, and I wouldn't have gotten into music so seriously if it had not been for So What You Want. The song and the video, it's like peanut butter and jelly. Like the guy who invented tiramisu. One day he was taking lady fingers and dipped it into an espresso and had mascarpone cheese. He's like, wow, this is delicious. So, or the Reuben sandwich. Oh, who thought of that? Sauerkraut, Thousand Island dressing, Swiss cheese, corned beef or pastrami on rye bread. A delicious concoction. Anyway, we are going to take a break. And when we come back on the brouhaha, got a frog in my throat and I can't even remember the name of the podcast. But when we come back on this fine podcast, we will play a game of 20 questions with Todd.
It's a word that is not really used that much in these days, but I think it really suits me as well as these guys. It's macho. It's a macho that we have. And how do they used to say it in the kids used to say mucho macho.
Right.
How do you feel about this?
I love sports. I love athletes. I love being a man, but sometimes I love men too.
We have returned to the brouhaha and back again to take another stab at 20 questions. We welcome Todd, a man who spells Todd with just one D.
Just one D, yeah. Yeah, single D.
No, why is that?
Well, my dad, I guess my dad's a bit of like a history buff or whatever. And my mother wanted to name me Todd, and then he said, we'll name him Todd with one D because Abraham Lincoln said if there's one D in God, there should be one D in Todd. And it was some type of reference to Mary Todd, his wife. So I'm actually named after a first lady. That's how it boils down.
That's interesting. Because I was going to say, it's spelled like God. And, you know, there you go. Confirmed by Abraham Lincoln.
And I think like the Todds, to really go on a tangent here, I think the Todds are really kind of an effete group or whatever that thought that they were pretty godly or whatever. So I think Abraham Lincoln was taking a jibe at him, but that's what I hear.
All right.
So hence I'm Todd with Wendy.
Abraham Lincoln being a jokester.
Right.
Sticking it to his in-laws. But anyway.
Mike stands for money and the D is for diamonds.
The reason I have you back on, I'm spring cleaning right now. I would love to ship out this Beastie Boys diorama. And over the course,
it has to go. Finally,
it has to go, and I hope you give it a nice home.
Well, thank you. Now, I think I do. I mean, I think I said last time I was on it. I do have a space in the illegal add-on in the back of my garage, right next to my Star Wars toys and my big poster that says "The Hiatus is Back Off Again" from right before "To the Five Boroughs" came out. And I think it would sit nicely right there.
All right, it has a good home. I'm happy. Now the deal is, you have to answer 20 Beastie Boys questions correctly, consecutively. And during the course of the brouhaha, I think this is our third year now, there's been one contestant. Well, I shouldn't say that. You know what? You're out of three contestants, you stuck out. There was Prof D, who took it to question number 19. I believe Thad took it to question number 19. I believe you were on before both of them, and you were just going off. And I was like, wow, this is it. This is the guy who wins 20 questions. And then, out of nowhere, you got tripped up. Do you remember the question that stumped you?
you know, I honestly, I am trying to remember, but I don't remember the exact question, but I believe it was like question 16, if I'm not wrong.
So you were going deep.
Yeah, I think
deep
I got
deep in the contest.
16.
I think I know. I think I know what you got tripped up on, because I was trying to remember. Was it about the tin pan apple talent contest in Crush Groove?
Yeah, and it was like, what song did they perform? Was that it?
No, it was, I think it was Who Won.
The tin pan apple. It came with like four performers, and I was like, and I guess I hadn't seen Crush Groove for a long time. So that one was tough, because remember there were like two names going back and forth that I was like, could have been them, you know?
Because everyone thinks it could have been the Beastie Boys, but they remember the Fat Boys from the movie. But the Fat Boys did not win the talent contest. It was actually New Edition.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And I thought when you said New Edition, I thought, no, that's just got to be just another act that was popular at the time. They weren't in the movie because I hadn't seen it in so long. So I guess that's where I got tripped up.
Do not worry, though. There are no questions about Crush Groove this time around.
Okay. All right.
There are two questions, as I looked over the 20, that I might not be able to answer.
Okay.
So the challenge stands in front of you. You know the rules. You get three opportunities for multiple choice if you get stumped along the way. Some of the questions, the way they're structured, do not allow for multiple choice. We start the music, and we begin with question one. License to Ill was the Beastie Boys' only full-length release off of what record label?
That would be Def Jam.
Def Jam, you are correct. Question number two. What instrument does Mike D play on stage with the Beastie Boys?
He plays the drums.
Mike D does play the drums, and sometimes for the punk songs he sings, but drums are correct. Question number three.
I can't see him do congos.
Sometimes he does do the congos. Question number three. Ooh, this could be a little tricky. Might be a little tough for question number three. In 1985, name two Rock and Roll Hall of Fame acts that the Beastie Boys toured with.
Well, one would be Madonna.
Okay.
Right. This is trickier than I thought. Raising Hell wasn't until later, so I'm not going to think Run DMC.
Well, like I said, you shouldn't think too hardly about the first few questions.
Then I'll say Run DMC?
You are correct. Sometimes I get these fans on here and they just think too much and analyze the first three questions. I'm like, no, just Run DMC. Yes, they toured with Run DMC on the Raisin Hell tour and with Madonna on the Virgin tour. I would also have accepted John Lydon, who is in the Hall of Fame with the Sex Pistols, because I believe the Beastie Boys toured with Public Image Limited. I mean, this is the nooks and crannies of some information that, you know, we forget along the way. This one. Question number four. What Beastie Boy used to date Molly Ringwald?
That would be Ad Rock.
Ad Rock is correct. We move on to question number five. A true or false? So as you obviously know, I can't give you multiple choice on this one.
Right.
True or false, the mix-up actually won a Grammy.
True.
You are correct. Best pop instrumental at the 2008 Grammy Awards. We move on to question number six. What tragedy occurs in the following Beastie Boys music videos? No Sleep Till Brooklyn, Body Movin', and Don't Play No Game That I Can't Win. Same tragedy. All three videos.
At first, now I'm not gonna, I might have to go multiple choice on this, but I was thinking possibly a beheading. But I'm trying to think that, but you know what? Because I have three multiple choice, I'm going to go for the multiple choice on it.
You sure you want to go multiple choice?
I think, you know what? I just want to do it because I can't, like, I know, I got to get to 20. And it's, I'm thinking beheading, or maybe a little bit.
You know what I'm going to do? Even though I said I wouldn't do it, I'm going to step in right now, and I'm going to say if I would give you multiple choice, your answer would be A.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna go, okay. So I am correct, yes, I'm gonna go A, beheading.
And you know what? It's the first brouhaha of the year. So I can be a little lenient on 20 questions.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, people lost a head in all of those videos. Although, okay, in the third video, yeah, they were action figures that actually lost their heads. But still, there were decapitations in all three of those music videos.
Right. Yeah, good. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that is a decapitation, whether it's, you know, it's a live head or what. It's all the same.
It counts. It counts. At number seven, when the Beastie Boys were paid tribute to at VH1's Hip Hop Honors telecast in 2006, they performed a medley of what two songs?
Ooh, okay. Performed a medley.
And I'm not talking about Fabolous and Q-Tip and P. Diddy. I'm talking about the actual Beastie Boys. The night they were paid tribute to, they had a nice little medley. It was just two songs.
I think I know what the two songs are. I've got it at the top of my head because they usually, no matter what, they always do So What You Want, just for whatever
Because it's reason. The greatest song ever written.
Well, you know, it's top five here of the Beasties, but...
Wait, what's your number one?
My number one? Oh, that gets a little... You know, I would probably...
What's one and two?
Just off the top of my head, I would probably still have to go with the popular one and still probably have to go with Sabotage.
Okay, that's fine.
Even though that's an obvious choice.
No, it's a great song.
You know, I'd have to go with that, but...
All right, but back to the question.
All right, back to the question. You know, I'm going to have to go multiple choice.
All right.
Just because I can't leave any stone unturned.
All right, we've got A.
I have my idea for the second one, but I'm not 100% sure. I want to hear it on the list.
Okay, A, Party for Your Right to not Public Enemy. Fight for Your Right to Party and Sabotage.
Okay.
B, Pass the Mic and Shake Your Rump.
Okay.
C, The New Style and So What You Want. And D, No Sleep Till Brooklyn and Hello Brooklyn.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to go with C, The New Sound, So What You Want.
New Style and So What You Want. You are correct.
I was like, it's something off of License to Ill. It's something off of License to Ill. And I was like, it wasn't Paul Revere. I just know it wasn't Paul Revere. And all right.
And it was funny because there's some lyrics about gunplay in that song, and the Beastie Boys were actually censored during that performance. They had to do the old hip-hop, like, drop it out. So they're like... like most hip-hop songs today are on the radio.
Right. It's funny that they, for a while, they really censored themselves around the Hello Nasty days. And then they kind of came out of it. And, I don't know, lightened up a little bit about some of the gunplay or the more misogynistic lyrics.
Because it got to the point, too, where they're like, well, if people really think we're going to shoot them, then they're stupid. So
right,
this is,
right.
You know, we're laying out the scene for you. We're almost like actors. We're telling you a story.
Right.
But we have, because I think they got really serious in 1998 to the point where fans would boo them at their own concerts. And then when they came around back again in 2004, they lightened up a bit.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if they did hit him in the turban with a bag of ice line on, like, High Plains Drifting. I was like, still, that one's still a little, probably a little out of sorts.
And I also thought it was funny how sometimes Ad-Rock or whoever would just hold the mic to the audience, especially on Paul Revere. They're like, all right, you guys sing it. We're not going to sing it, but you handle all the dirty lyrics.
Right. And then it just looks like they're just hyping the crowd versus not wanting to repeat. About hitting somebody with a wiffle ball bat, you know?
And what was the end of the song? How does the end of the song go for Paul Revere?
Mike D has the money, Mike D stretched the gold. I grabbed two girlies and a beer. That's cold.
Yes, and didn't Ad-Rock say something about how him and an old lady would have a beer or something?
I'm trying to think. I remember them doing some kind of alternate lyric.
Yeah, because you'd be like, oh, me and this, and someone had a beer, and we were drinking it, and or I don't know.
A woman that's old. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe something that's like good. That. Had a beer with a woman that's old.
But before we get to the next question, did you ever, what is on the top of my mind, there was a phrase uttered, and someone said it was like in Portuguese or something at the end of the 94
yes!
performance.
Yes!
And do we know what that was? Because I thought it was like a Buddhist chant. I didn't know what it was.
No! I've always, because there's another bootleg I have where he says that like, Donde para sender para vandera mi de horas, and then he slams his guitar. So I always thought it was like a curse in Portuguese or something. But I might be wrong.
That's what I figured too, because it was delivered a little serious too, like, you know.
Because usually, you don't say a blessing and then slam your guitar on the ground.
No. I thought it was like something that would have been like backmasked on like an AC/DC record or something.
So if anyone knows what this phrase is, please leave it in the comments section. Because I've always wondered that.
Yeah.
And another question I have about that performance, Ad Rock has that finger on his guitar. Is that a middle finger? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm thinking it looked like it, because he was like, that was around the time of the SNL performance where he did his best to flip up the cameras as many times as possible.
Yeah, later in the year, he was cursing up a storm on SNL, and then he also gave the finger during Ricky's theme.
Right, yeah.
And this is just totally random. This is random, Todd, but you're the only guest on today, so we can, you know, take some time with this. During Sure Shot, if you watch that back, Ad Rock starts swearing, and Mike D, if you listen and watch the performance back, he almost tries to shush Ad Rock. He's like, no more, shh, and he could not control the King Ad Rock that night.
Right, because there's a curse of one of the things, and Mike D's like, what? And does a what? And says cursing, and then Ad Rock is just bringing it and adding extra ones.
And I think MCA says bullshit at the end of...
Yeah.
She's like, you know what? If Ad Rock's doing it, then I'm going to do it too. And Mike D was trying to maintain the peace there.
Yeah, because I remember I watched it live, and we were in L.A. on the West Coast, and so it was that time to censor it or whatever, and I was watching with my friends, and I was like, dude, they're not cutting any of it out. Like, it all got out. And I think the next time they played it as a rerun, they cut it out or whatever. But on the first performance, like, you heard all of it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm glad you picked that as your favorite performance, because it was mine, too. And it was once I just started getting into them and watching MCA play bass on, like, Heart Attack Man and stuff, I actually went out and bass right after that.
Whoa.
I was like, I never saw anybody play a bass like that. Like, you know, with the distortion, like, really... aggressively, and so I immediately kind of fell in love with that.
Because it was so unexpected, because I saw the instruments, and I thought, okay, they're going to do Sabotage, and then they busted into Ricky's theme, and I'm like, no! You can't, like, leave SNL by playing an instrumental, and then fortunately they kicked into Heart Attack Man.
Yeah, no, I thought that was cool, because it showed them as total, like, you know, their wide range. Like,
it did!
It showed everything they do on there. It's like the funky stuff, which sounded great. And still, like, Mark plays, like, a nice intro on that that's not on the record that I think is kind of my preferred version. But.
Yeah. I mean, that performance, sadly, cast a big shadow over the next time they performed on SNL.
I don't recall being as good.
No, it wasn't. Because I know how good it was because I had it on VHS and I probably watched those performances probably like 50 or 60 times. And I remember I did not watch 3MCs and 1DJ and Sabotage as many times.
Yeah, and I was like, why are they playing Sabotage? Like,
yeah.
They're still the great songs off Hell and Nasty they could have done.
I know. All right, we've been sidetracked. But
all right,
a good sidetrack. Dropping some beastie knowledge on the brouhaha. I believe we're at question number 8.
Okay.
This could be a tough question.
Yes.
It could be.
All right.
What is the opening track off of the album, The Mix-Up?
The opening track. I'm like, that's the one, but is that the... I'm in my head. That's the one, not the one with the tight bass line, which is 14th Street Break, I'm pretty sure. So I'm going to go with B for my name.
Correct. Question number 9.
Woo!
All right. Hot Sauce Committee Part 2 was pared down from the original track listing of Hot Sauce Committee Part 1. Besides Pop Your Balloon and B-Boys in the Cut, what other song failed to make its final track listing?
You know what? I'm gonna have to go with the multiple choice just to be sure, because I'm in it to win it. I'm in it to win it.
Okay. Here we go. A, Bundt Cake.
I know I'm gonna get it once you say it. I'm gonna know.
A, right. Bundt Cake. B, Make Some Noise. C, Crazy Ass Shit. D, Long Burn the Fire. Which track did not make Hot Sauce Committee Part 2?
Oh, Bundt Cake.
Bundt Cake is correct. We move on to question number 10.
Okay.
Here we go. Whew. Who is...
I got one more.
You got one more. And you're not even halfway through yet.
All right, we're good. I'm not worried.
Number 10. Who is not, I repeat, not shouted out in the song Johnny Royale? A,
right.
Mayor Ed Koch. B, Barbara Walters. Or C, Donald Trump.
That'd be B, Barbara Walters.
Barbara Walters is not shouted out in that song. Now, I might have actually messed up that question. But you are correct. Yeah, Barbara Walters is not shouted. I don't know if Donald Trump is shouted out in that song.
Yeah, it's Donald Trump or Donald Tramp living in a man's shelter.
Is that High Plains Drifter or is that... Oh, that's Johnny Royale. That's Johnny Royale. Oh, okay, yeah. All right, I was good. I'm a little bit rusty.
You're second-guessing yourself.
I know. It's happened before. I have asked an incorrect question on the Brouhaha with Say Adam sitting in front of me. And this is the first Brouhaha of 2012, so we may be a bit rusty, but we march on to question number 11.
The hunter becomes the hunted.
What rests between Mike D's legs on the album cover for Check Your Head?
At first, I'm thinking it's like a bag or something that has like a drum in it, because both of them have guitar cases. And so it's like a bag or something that has like a drum in it to show that he plays drums. And that's what I'm thinking. It's a bag. Some sort of bag.
Final.
It's a bag there.
Final.
Yes.
Yes, you are correct. A brown paper bag filled with what?
Yes.
I don't know.
No idea.
I don't know what's in that bag. We move on to question number 12. Starting to get a little tough now. You should know this, though.
I'm ready.
You should know this. Name three Beastie Boys songs that have man in the title.
Okay. All right. That shouldn't be difficult.
I believe we've already spoken about one of those.
All right. It's going to be Heart Attack Man.
Ding. Really? Yes.
Song for the Man.
You are correct. One more.
I'm thinking the wheels are turning.
He's on his lunch break right now. Maybe the pressure of going back to work kicks in. I don't know.
No, I'm not going back to work. I'm not going back to work.
He's gonna quit his job until he answers 20 correctly or until he gets one wrong.
So we got Song for the Man, Heart Attack Man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going all the way. And can I take a multiple choice?
Ooh, I don't think you want to do that. I mean, you could, but... I mean, I'll give you one.
Yeah, I know it'll hit me once it hits me, but I'm...
How about this? I'll make you a deal.
Oh, I like that.
Instead of giving you one more multiple choice, I will give you two... many hints in exchange for one multiple choice.
Okay, yeah, that works. You can't really do a multiple choice.
No, I could. Oh, no, I could. I could give you multiple choice, and you would kick yourself once I did that. So you are now... So here, for the first time ever on the Brouhaha, you are trading two multiple choices for... No, one multiple choice for too many hints.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. So you'll have one more mini hints left. It comes off of the album Paul's Boutique.
Alright, Shadrach, Johnny Royale, looking down the barrel of a loaded gun.
And we hope you're playing honestly. Hope you're not looking at your iPhone.
No.
Or liner notes.
For all the ladies. Oh my God. Five piece chicken dinner. No.
Oh,
D-boy blues and bass.
No. No. You'll never forgive yourself. Never.
Hey ladies. Eggman.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh dude, that was an easy question. Why did that take?
That was a number four type question right there. Todd's brain's getting tired.
My brain's getting, all right, well, that's fine. What am I on, like 12 now or 13?
13.
I'm going to run the table now. We're good.
All right.
Good, there's nothing
hey,
between
you
me
said
now.
That last time. You said you were going to run the table last time, and you didn't.
Well, sometimes I'm wrong, but. Because you asked a crush groove question, man.
All right, no more crush groove questions, although we do have another Paul's Boutique question. Maybe I was
That's
listening
fine.
To a lot of Paul's Boutique when I wrote these up. And these have
that
been
sounds
written
good.
For a while. So here we go. Number 13. What song has the following lyrics? Like a Buffalo Soldier. Ah, oh, see, I gave you a hint. You got away with one there because I gave you a hint. Why did I?
Yeah.
Like a Buffalo Soldier, I'm broader than Broadway. Keeping on. I don't care what they say.
That would be Hello, Brooklyn.
Hello, Brooklyn. You are correct. Question number 14. Besides hanging out with groupies and doing things with groupies, what else did Ricky Powell do for the Beastie Boys?
In real life, okay, he was a photographer.
He was indeed a photographer. You are correct. Although I gotta say, I'm a fan of Glennie Friedman's photos more than Ricky Powell's photos. No diss on Ricky Powell.
Oh yeah, it was the more punky looking stuff that Friedman did.
Yeah,
right?
But you know, the in the moment casual photos, Ricky Powell took some good ones.
Yeah, he did like the Doc and Z-Boys photos and stuff. Am I wrong? Am I right?
Glennie Friedman?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all the old school skateboarders right now, and old school hip hop acts and punk bands.
Yeah. All right, yeah, that makes I got it. All right. So what are we at? 15?
15. In right. Awesome I Shot That, a concert right. that was recorded live at Madison Square Garden, a film you may have seen, what was the color motif of the Beastie Boys' tracksuits?
The color motif?
Yes, there were two colors in their tracksuits, and throughout that tour in 2004, they would always wear two colored tracksuits. What colors
right.
were the tracksuits? An MSG on the night that they shot. Awesome. I shot that.
Well, they were green, I know. And then you're also dealing with a man who's somewhat colorblind. So I'm gonna say green and white.
Do you want to use your other mini hint?
Well, I guess so. If I'm gonna be wrong.
All right, here's your other mini hint. Since you are colorblind, and since this is the first brouhaha of 2012,
yes.
They were the color of a sports team, a very popular sports team, that play in the Midwest.
Was it Chicago? It wasn't Chicago Bulls colors. It wasn't the red and blue kind of get up. Was it that outfit? Am I confusing this with the triple
and
trouble?
They,
video?
Let me, this isn't a hint. This is just me talking about the Beastie Boys. They wore these beautiful tracksuits at the Voodoo Festival in New Orleans. I think I saw them a couple other times wearing the, I mean, these, I believe, were the main tracksuits. Not to be confused. Overseas, they wore the black and orange. When I saw them out in Long Island, they had like a navy blue and a grayish turquoise tracksuit.
Yeah, that's the one I saw in Long Beach. They played in Long Beach by my house. Long Beach Arena. Oh, I'm going to go with the Chicago Bulls with the red and blue.
Is that your final answer? Now, when you say final answer,
red
you
and
walk
black,
the,
red and black.
Now, when you say... No. Is that your final answer? Because your initial guess was pretty close.
Dallas Mavericks.
And for those listening to the brouhaha, I can be lenient because this is my podcast. The first one of the year, we need to shake the rust off. Todd was not only the contestant on 20 Questions today, he was the only guest on the brouhaha.
That's right. That's right.
So your first hunch wasn't way off.
Man,
and people in the Midwest, they know. I mean, they really know what colors these are.
That'd be like the Minnesota Timberwolves.
No!
The Minnesota Wild.
You're forgetting the big one. There's stadiums in the middle of a neighborhood. The public owns the team.
The Green Bay Packers? I was thinking basketball team. Oh, yeah, with the green and yellow. It's the Green Bay Packers.
Final.
Yes, that's final.
Green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow. Yes, you are correct. Who was on the last brouhaha? Because they went out on a Green Bay Packers question like many brouhahas ago. And they came back last brouhaha for their second go around. But the karma of the Green Bay Packers comes around. For some reason, we're always talking about them on the brouhaha. You are correct. We move on to question number 16. So you have no more hints. Now you just have to earn it.
I'm a member of the Raider Nation myself, so I can't. Okay. Anyway.
Okay. Question number 16. I was saying before we started this that there was a question I would not be able to answer. I would not be able to answer this. If I had a multiple choice, I might be. You don't have any multiple choice.
I got nothing.
So, Todd, I hate to say it, but you might be screwed.
I'll know this one. This is easy. It's not like I'm colorblind on this one.
Well, if you get this one, you are a beastie savant. If you get this one, I should just send you the diorama. This is a tough one.
Yeah, all right.
All right. So, if you hold the album cover for License to Ill into the mirror, you'll discover the code on the airplane tail says, "Eat me." When you don't hold it in the mirror, what are the numbers and letters?
Oh, of that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's easy.
I don't think it is. It's a code. You've got some letters in there. Yeah. You've got some numbers in there.
All right. So it's going to be 3.
And I will allow you to take out a pen and scribble on a scrap piece of paper if that would help you.
3MTA3.
Say that one more time.
3, M as in Mark, T as in Todd, A as in Adam, 3 as in the number 3.
Oh my gosh! Woohoo! You got it! 3MTA3. And we move on to question number 17.
All right.
1, 2, 3. 4 away from number 20. This one's it's kind of hard to believe, but when was the last live Beastie Boys performance? You can give me the festival, you can give me the state.
Performance or like festival? Because I know the last time they performed, I believe, was at, was on like Jimmy Fallon show, and they had the Roots playing the background. They did So What You Want.
No TV.
Oh.
Last.
No TV. When it comes
straight up live performance, crowd is there. They have a set list. The public can get in.
It's either Asheville, North Carolina, which I know they played a while back because they played.
You thinking about the voting stuff?
Come again. No. They did this, like, when they were getting ready to start doing, like, smaller shows. This was after 2008. They did Asheville, North Carolina, because it was right after they did, like, Bonnaroo. And they did the election stuff in 08. This was in 09. So this was after they had, 09 they had put out, because at Bonnaroo they did Too Many Rappers with Nas live. And then this was a show after that. Or it was right before it in Asheville, North Carolina.
That's what you have to ask yourself.
So the question is, what did I hear about first? Was it Too Many Rappers, which I remember going on YouTube and listening to live? Was that Bonnaroo? Or was it the Asheville show, which
you
I believe...
You might be splitting hairs!
which was right around the same time.
It's tough because it's question number 17.
That's right. That's right. And a real fan would know the answer to this. And I remember a buddy of mine's from Asheville, so he was semi-excited about the fact that the Beastie Boys are playing there. And I was like, where the fuck is Asheville? And that felt to me like more of a gear up for the release of Hot Sauce. But Bonnaroo...
See, the thing is, if you break it down logically, you'll get the answer correct. If you don't break it down logically, then you're going to get it wrong.
Well, but then again, didn't they release? I'm gonna go with Bonnaroo.
Final
answer.
You said Asheville. You were thinking about it. You wanted to go with it. Asheville, North Carolina, June 10th, 2009. A tune-up show for Bonnaroo happening on June 12th, 2009 in Manchester, Tennessee. You are correct.
Woo! Woo! Yes.
The logic is the Beastie Boys always did those little tune-up shows. So you tune up in the club, and then you get on the big stage, and you do your thing.
Good. Well, I'm glad I got that. All right.
And you'll remember that summer, they were supposed to do many festivals. I believe they were supposed to do Lollapalooza. They were going to do All Points West. And that's when MCA discovered that he had cancer, and he's like, you know what? I gotta take care of myself. We're pulling back. We're dropping off these dates. And Jay-Z actually did the All Points West instead of the Beastie Boys that year.
Right, he did like No Sleep Till Brooklyn or whatever.
Yeah,
I think I remember seeing.
All right, this is impressive, Todd.
Thank you. They're supposed to play Hollywood Bowl.
Yep.
In LA, and I was all excited about that. Cause that's where I am, and
yeah. Yep. Late September.
Would have been cool.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Late September, good job.
So, number 18. On what Hot Sauce Committee Part 2 track do the Beastie Boys reference So What You Want?
What you want now? What you want now? That'd be Don't Play No Game That I Can't Win.
You are correct. We move on to question number 19.
Ooh. Album stands up, by the way. Hot Sauce was definitely, not that I doubted the B-Boys come back, surprisingly better than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
First time I heard it, I was like, wow, this is a really colorful, well-produced, just the playing on it was great. I really, first time when they had the boombox on the floor of Madison Square Garden and I heard that live stream, I was like, whoa, this is fantastic.
Yep.
And it's really held up as being just a solid... Like, you start on the first track, and then you're like 8 tracks in, and you don't even realize where the time went. It just flows. That's probably the best flow of any record they've done. Anyway.
I enjoyed it. I listened to it nonstop all last year, and I'm starting to revisit it now because I stayed away for a bit, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Still good.
This is so much better than To the Five Boroughs, which is, I'll be honest, and a menace. A Beastie Boys record to me.
Wait, hold on. My wife just beeped in. What did you call it? A menace?
Like the Phantom, like Star Wars.
Oh,
like
oh, a Phantom
Beastie
Menace.
Boys record.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, or the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Sorry, that album bummed me out. It was really
disappointing. You know what? For singles, To the Five Boroughs was chock full of them.
Yeah.
To check it out. Triple Trouble. Right now.
Right?
An Open Letter to NYC.
No, those were all good tracks. It went on too long. There's about 4 filler tracks in it. The beats didn't change up that much. But in hindsight, like after I was kind of upset by it, I listened back to it a while back, I remember, and I was like, this is one of the funniest records they put out, like lyrically.
And lyrically funny, big beats.
I was let down by the music.
Okay.
I was let down by the music on it. Later, lyrically, I thought it was pretty brilliant.
I liked that it was all hip-hop.
Right.
Because for so many years, we're like, what are the Beastie Boys going to do next? And I liked that it was just one flavor. And then without To the Five Boroughs, we do not have a title to this podcast, The Brouhaha.
All right.
All right. Everyone, that's my wife calling. I called her today and I didn't leave a message, so... She might call a handful of times. I should have left a message. I should have left a text. All right. And she's calling at such a tense time at number 19. In the
number
song...
Number 19.
Number 19.
Tie, right? Tie the best score?
this will tie. And I believe, I don't know if Thad went to 20. I think Thad did go to 20 and Prof D went to 20. So you're in good company right now. Number 19, in High Plains Drifter, what establishment is not shouted out? Motel 6, Fat Burger, 7-Eleven, or Kmart?
Kmart.
Is that your final answer?
Oh, wait. So it's 7-Eleven, for sure. Right? Fat Burger. I'm thinking maybe it's Ice Cube referencing Fat Burger. Yeah, oh, you know what? I gotta change my answer. I just realized Kmart Shoplifter. So it's gonna be Fat Burger. They did not say Fat Burger.
Final.
They did not reference Fat Burger.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
They reference Motel 6 because they say that, you know, it's a porno flick. Later, they reference Motel 9 live from Lost Profits. Kmart Shoplifter is in there. So I'm going to say, no, Fat Burger. They do not reference Fat Burger in LA Icon.
You are correct. And if you were wrong, you would have to drive past Fat Burger every day and hang your head in shame.
Oh, it would ruin my life. It would ruin my life every time I drove by Fat Burger.
All right.
It's like when I was in like fourth grade, I was in the spelling bee, and I misspelled library. And every damn time I drive by a library, like I lose a little piece of myself. I doubt myself a little more, you know.
All right. So we've reached question number 20. Now, when Prof D and Thad both went down on a question 20, I thought to myself, if I make these impossibly hard, no one's ever going to win. So I should make it hard, but I should also make the question answerable. Okay?
Yes, that's very fair.
Some people out there, some people might think that this is a very easy question. Some people out there might think it's a hard question. And maybe this is a prize to you for going through 19 other questions. Some were easy,
right.
Some were not so easy. Regardless, if you answer this question correctly, I will send you a Beastie Boys diorama. Yes. And there are some other goodies inside of the box I will send you too. Bumper stickers,
awesome.
Other Beastie Boys memorabilia. And the question is this. You have no more multiple choice, no more hints.
Nothing.
We've almost been going for, we're not at an hour yet, but we're getting there. But it will end.
You know, I may not have those things, but I tell you what I do have. I do have about, you know, 20 years of, you know, being an obsessive fan, you know? And that's all I need, really, is about 20 years of obsessive fandom that can give me this answer.
And when you return from your lunch break, you will have the fandom, but you might not have a job.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely fine. Yeah, that's okay. I'll have the diorama, and while I'm unemployed, it'll give me more time to look at it.
All right, so here we go. Question number 20. There is a track on Hot Sauce Committee Part 2 called The Larry Routine.
All right.
The question is, in The Larry Routine, what Beastie Boy is Larry?
All right.
They all rhyme. It's going to be tough.
I'm just going to go, you know, like Luke Skywalker, you know, turning off the blast shield, listening to Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'm not going to think about it. I'm just going to go with my gut.
He's using the Force! It's not your gut, it's the Force!
Yes. Well, I've got the Force in my gut. and I'm just going to go with Mike D is Larry.
Final answer.
Yes.
Todd! You have done it! You have answered 20 questions correctly! Unbelievable! He has won the Beastie Boys diorama! Wow!
Thank
you. Wow!
Thank you.
Speech time! Speech time!
Woo! I'd like to thank my wife. I'd like to thank my country, first of all. I would like to thank the fact that all my life, like, you know, before I found the Beastie Boys message board, not knowing that there was a world of obsessive people quite like myself out there that nitpicked everything and had to know everything and uncover everything. I like to think that it's actually come some use in my life.
He's the first!
This is the moment. Like, I can never listen to Beastie Boys again now, maybe, because...
No,
like,
no!
I'm kidding. Okay, good. No.
Wow!
I think that, like, you know, it just brings me back to all these moments, like, when I was very ill with pneumonia, and a friend of mine found the Aglioliolo EP at the local record store and brought it over and said, I have a new Beastie Boys record you have no idea about. And that was previously the high point of my life. But this is going to be this. That and Kirk Gibson's home run in 88 for the Dodgers.
Wow. Well, Todd, I had a feeling the first time you were on 20 Questions, I was like, this guy knows his stuff. The crust groove question tripped you up. You almost went down a couple times today. You stuck with it. That last question, not easy. And you are the first ever winner on 20 Questions.
Whew. Yes, indeed, it's fun time.
So just for those out there who are wondering, Mike D is Larry. Ad-Rock is Harry. MCA, he is Gary. And Todd is the 20 Questions champ. So, Todd, thank you for joining us. I will send you the diorama and all the other goodies later this week.
Well, I will be emailing you later on today with my address. And you can get it out there. I really appreciate it, Jim.
Yeah.
I love your show. And I think it's a great extension for, like, all the message boarders and stuff. Even though people never see my name, I'm a lurker. Occasionally posted, Jerry Lee Falwell.
Okay.
So I thank you for your show because I really dig it. So.
You are welcome. And thank you for listening, and thank you for participating, and congratulations. So for Todd, spelled with 1D, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see yens later.
That's all there is. Come on.
Yo, we gonna end it on a 1, 2, 3 note. Are you ready? 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Ah! Guarantee we bring the brouhaha.
This is your brouhaha. This is your brouhaha. This is your brouhaha.
This routine dates way back. A lot of people may remember this routine, but it's evolved now. Yeah, from the summer before last.
Well, the name's Mike.